the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides all that I need. He leads me to safety. He cares for my soul. He helps me to follow His lead. He's molding my heart to believe that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow,
I was wandering in the valley of death. Fear had me running, hiding in the shadows of shame, believing lies in the darkness. But then your light came bursting through in the colors of amazing grace. I once was blind.
Where my heart found freedom. It is for freedom that I am set free. It is for freedom that I am set free. Oh. It is for freedom that I am set free. It is for freedom that I am set free.
All right, well, good morning, church. The heater must be working on this side of the room versus this side. We're glad you guys could join us. If you guys would, let's stand together. And as we're reminded, This week, we start the second part of our foundation series as we walk through the book of Romans. And this is about, this section is on salvation. And so I just invite you this morning, so we're reminded of where our salvation comes from. I want to pray for us, and then we'll join our voices together. Lord, we come this morning knowing that there is salvation in no other name but Jesus. So we come to be reminded of that. We come to place our faith in that. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
And I believe you are the way and the truth and the life. Oh, I believe you are and the way and the truth and the light. Oh, I believe you are and the way and the truth and the light. Yes, I believe you are the way and the truth and the light. Oh, I believe you are in the way and the truth and the light. Yes, I believe you are in the way and the truth and the light. Oh, I believe you are. And Lord, how you love me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. And more than I've asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. And how sweet the sound, once lost, but now found. Heaven, it came down, and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross, you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Lord, how you love me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. And more than I've asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. And at the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Oh, with your grace on top of grace. Oh, 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 oh. How sweet the sound, once lost, but now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me. How sweet the sound, once lost, but now found. Heaven, oh, it came down, and grace rescued me. I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace.
Oh, with your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. And at the cross you took my place. With your grace on top of grace. Good morning, High Point. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. This is the part of our service where, as a family, we're going to take communion together. So hopefully on your way in, you grabbed your communion elements. If you did not, we have some on the back table for you so we can take communion together. And over the past several weeks, as we've gone through and we started our series, Foundations in Romans, as we talked through sin, communion was our time of confession, and it was a time for us to spend alone with God. And as Tyler mentioned to us, that this morning we begin our second pillar in the foundation series as we talk about salvation. And when we talk about salvation, part of that is, or all of that is, Christ coming to be with us here. And so over the next few weeks, a part of our communion will be coming down to y'all and reading from the gospel. So as I read through the gospel of John, y'all, if y'all want to begin to open up and work on your communion so you're ready, then I will lead us through communion. So this morning, we'll read through John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So, church, as we take the bread as a reminder of Christ's body broken for us, so that we may spend eternity with him. And next, we take the cup, remembering Christ's blood shed for us, paying the price that only He could pay. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you that you sent him here for each and every one of us. We come this morning with our baggage, with our issues, with our sin. But Father, you take that
We don't have to carry it with us. That it is through you and you alone that we are set free. You are the way. You are the truth. And it is in you that we experience life and life abundantly. So my prayer this morning is that we would be a people not living as slaves to our sin, but as free people, living as citizens in your kingdom. So as we pray, as we worship, as we hear your word, let us do so as people free, living in the light of your glory and love for us all. Amen.
And in those sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. And now in heaven exalted I. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. It's his mercy and his grace drawing me to seek his face. And may I do that all my days. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And to praise the name of the Lord our God, we'll praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, our God. We
sing it again.
And oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God.
Sing.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days
we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord, our God. Oh Lord, oh Lord, our God. Oh, praise the name. And oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
You may be seated.
But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. This was to show his righteousness in the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What then becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. But by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, for God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31.
Amen. Well, good to see you all today. I've been out the last couple of weeks with bronchitis. I did not have COVID, just to set the record straight. So forgive my raspy voice and a little less pep in my step, as it were. But it's good to be here with you guys, worshiping the Lord together. If you don't know me, my name is Brandon McCaughey, and I like to hang out. So if you ever want to grab lunch or coffee, I'll let you treat me. Or I'll treat you. That's fair. Well, church, I am just so grateful and want to say thank you to TW, before we dismiss the kids, for covering last week for the sermon, because, you know, it's not easy just getting thrown a sermon on Tuesday or Wednesday and when you didn't know you were going to preach it. So thanks to TW, and it's great to have a preaching team that covers all those things. We're going to head our kids out to Sunday school and to youth group. So kids, head on out, and young adults, so the high schoolers aren't offended, go learn about Jesus. Have fun. And a couple quick announcements for you. Tomorrow night from 5 to 7 p.m. Out on the front lawn is our second Monday food truck. And I'm super excited because it's Shishman Mediterranean food. So you can come have some falafel and some shawarma, and some gyro. Somebody, by the way, some dear soul said gyro. And I said, well, that's cute, but it's gyro. And it sounds cooler, gyro. Yeah, it's, I don't know. But you can come on out to the front lawn tomorrow from 5 to 7, and enjoy some amazing food. Or, if you prefer, you can order online ahead of time, and you can take that food to go, and if you could just eat it in the comfort of your own home, if you prefer. But if you want to come hang out, we'll have fire pits. Bring your own chairs and some blankets, and we'll be out there from 5 to 7. If you need to order online or pre-order, you can go to the Facebook group, High Point Fellowship Facebook group, and you can find the link there to do that pre-order. But highly recommended. It's going to be great. And then one other announcement, a second service, that's this service, beginning February 21st, Brett Dickinson is going to start back with our Sunday school class, and he's going to be going through the New City Catechism questions and verses that we've been studying on our own, but he's going to try and dive a little deeper into those. So if you want to come to that Sunday school class, you can come to first service and then go to that class. It'll only be offered during second service, but if you need more information, email the office at hpf.org, and you can get that information. And that class, again, it will start in 2 weeks. So we've finished our first segment on the book of Romans through the foundation of sin. Right? It's been a rough road as we talk about the wrath of God and the punishment we deserve for our sin and all of that. And now Paul is going to shift gears. He's been building this theological foundation. And he's going to shift gears now and move into the topic of salvation. So he's got to build this foundation in this correct order, because we have to understand our sin. We have to understand what we're being saved from. And then now we're going to talk about what that salvation actually looks like and what that means in the life of the believer. Paul's gonna stand really firm on this issue of salvation, that our righteous standing before God is given to us as a precious gift that we could never earn. Right? The gift of salvation that we've been given is a precious gift from God that we can never earn, but we can only receive it. So if you have your Bibles, church, this morning, I would invite you to open to Romans chapter 3. We'll be in verses 21 to 31, as Tanya shared with us. And before we jump into our text, let's go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide us and lead us. Well, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your beautiful, precious Word that was given to us so that we could see who You are and what You've done for us. And today, Lord, we pray, show us the truth. Show us the truth that You would have, that we might walk in it, that we might be a people who in our obedience and in the faith that You've given, walk in a manner worthy of the name of Christian that we've been given. God, we praise You for the precious gift of salvation. We praise You for Jesus Christ. We praise You for the Holy Spirit who guides us and shows us the way that we're to go. And today, Heavenly Father, we ask that as we leave this place, we'd be just a little bit more like Your Son, Jesus, than we were when we came in. Prepare our hearts and our minds to hear what You'd have for us. And again, we thank You for the gift of Your precious Word. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the word justification is what we're going to talk about today. It's not a word that we use often in our daily conversations. You don't say like, oh yeah, I had this great justification moment the other day. The word justification is essential to the Christian faith. It is essential for our understanding of what salvation actually is, and it reminds us of all that we've been given in Christ Jesus. It shows us the depths of God's love and mercy towards us. As we see here in verses 21 through 24, we're going to see Paul unpack what this word justification means. Let's look together at the text. Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We'll stop there. And we all know Romans 3:23. It's part of the Romans Road. It's one of those famous verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I love it because Paul, for the last 2.5 chapters, has been reminding us of our sin, of who we are in our sinful state, deserving of the wrath and the punishment of God for our unrepentance, our wickedness, our sin. And even after he begins to shift gears here into the second half of chapter 3, he still takes another stab at reminding us. Do you understand how important this problem of sin is? Do you know how desperate you are in your sin apart from Jesus Christ? Your sin has divided you. It has separated you from your God. And Paul just takes one more stab at reminding each one of us that we are all sinners. There's no distinction among us. Some of us aren't less sinners than others or better sinners than others. I mean, I guess you could be a better sinner, more sinner. We are all on the same footing when it comes to our sin, equally condemned under the righteous wrath and judgment of our God. But Paul goes on in this passage by reminding us that God's answer to the problem of sin is provided in the theological, doctrinal idea of justification. Yes, we are sinners. We have missed the mark. We have broken God's law. We have fallen short of His glory. But justification will deal with all of those problems. And it will give us a right standing before our Heavenly Father. You see, those who have thrown themselves upon the mercy of Christ, believing in Him alone for salvation, have found that God has accepted them and declared them to be righteous. See, this word justification, it's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace from your Heavenly Father to you, and it comes from His loving hand and His loving heart towards you. The beautiful thing about justification is it's absolutely free. It's absolutely free. We contribute nothing to the declaration that God makes over us that you are now righteous. That is all a work of God Himself. Now this word justification, it's a word of the court. Right? You would find this, it's a law term. The judge would acquit or justify someone who is pronounced innocent. Right? Or he would condemn someone who is found guilty. Justification is this singular moment in time when you come to believing faith in Jesus Christ. The justification happens once in your life. It's not an ongoing work. Sanctification is what happens as we become more like Christ, as we grow in our holiness and in Christ's likeness. But justification is a pronouncement by God on the day of your salvation that you are now not guilty. Guilty though you were, you have been pronounced righteous by the Holy King of Heaven. You see, in the moment that you are pronounced justified, you are set free from your sin. You are no longer a slave to the sin that you were bound to before. You have been made perfectly righteous with the righteousness of Christ, and that righteousness will clothe you forever. Now, the justification that God pronounces over your life can't be taken away. Somebody can't come to you after you've been declared not guilty and say, well, now you're guilty again. No, your sentence has been set forth into eternity. You are justified before your God forever. That means you can't lose your salvation, church. You can't lose something that has been pronounced over you already. I love how Jerry Bridges says it. He says this. He says, in our standing before God, we will never be more righteous, even in heaven, than we were the day we trusted Christ, or we are now. Obviously, in our daily experience, we fall far short of the perfect righteousness that God requires. But because He has imputed to us the perfect righteousness of His Son, He now sees us as being just as righteous as Christ Himself. Have you thought about that? You are holy, as holy as Christ Himself. Not because you somehow figured it out and you're living this great life, but because God the Father has declared you to be so. He has pronounced you not guilty. He has said, you are righteous as my Son is righteous. Set apart, holy and pure. There's some astounding ramifications for us to wrestle with in that truth, church. When you are justified by God, you stand before Him as righteous as Jesus Himself. Without spot, without stain, a son or daughter of God who no longer bears the weight of your sin, but one who has been completely set free. Now, this is a hard thing for us to wrestle with. We don't like to be compared to Jesus. He's the perfect one. I'm just this wretched sinner. Yes, that's true. But in God's eyes, when He sees you, He sees the imputed righteousness of Christ. You are holy. You are pure, and your sin holds no sway over your life any longer. Tim Keller explains it like this. He says, the moment that we believe, God imputes Christ's perfect performance to us as if it were our own and adopts us into His family. In other words, God can say to us, just as He once said to Christ, you are my Son, my love. With you I am well pleased. See, one day when you stand before God, God is going to say those words to you. And you're not going to hear them because of all the good things that you did. You're going to hear them because of all the good things that Christ did on your behalf. Because His righteousness has been given to your account. Now, Paul tells us something else astounding here in verse 24. He says this phrase, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, justification, even though for us it's free, was incredibly costly to our God. Our freedom from sin came at an unbelievable price. And Paul says that it's extended to us as a gift of grace, but it was purchased for us through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you. He paid it on your behalf. He paid it by His life and His blood and His perfection. And He bore the penalty of our sin in our place. You see, church, that's exactly why no one in the world can be justified apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Because no one else could pay the price. No one could be saved. No one can experience the free justification of God without Jesus. Apart from putting our faith and our trust in what He has done for us. John Calvin said this. He said, though justification is free to us and we receive it without cost and it comes to us not because of something in us that prompts God to love us, but it flows out of the love of the Heavenly Father. It comes to us at a tremendous cost, not to ourselves, but to the Son of God. for he himself bore the penalty of our sin, and he himself received the verdict of guilty, though he was not, in order that we might receive the verdict not guilty. See, Paul has been reminding us for 2.5 chapters that we are desperate people, lost in our sin and in desperate need to be justified before our God. And the justification that he offers is the answer to that problem of sin in our lives. And it comes to us as a grace from him, an overflow of his love and his mercy in our lives. But it cost him everything. His only begotten Son. And yet he was willing to pay so that you and I could stand before our righteous, holy God and be proclaimed as not guilty. See, justification is this incredibly beautiful word, church. I want you to think about it the next time that you are struggling with your sin. I want you to think about what justification is the next time you're struggling with your failures and your weakness and your sin. When you're wondering if the sin that you committed has caused God to turn his back on you. If you're wondering if God has given up because he's just so frustrated with how sinful and ridiculous you are, or I am, or we all are. But I want you to remember this. In those moments when you're standing under the weight of your sin, I want you to remember that Christ has declared you not guilty. That he's paid the penalty for your sin already. Past, present, and future. His blood was sufficient to cover it all. And the next time Satan, that accuser, whispers the lie in your ear that your sins have somehow cost you your relationship with God or given you less standing in his sight, you tell that accuser that it's a lie. Be gone. You have been declared righteous in the sight of God. In the kingdom of God, you are a holy child. You have not been made perfect. Right? We still struggle with sin, church. We have not been made perfect, but you have been made perfectly righteous. You were made perfectly righteous by what Christ did on Calvary. As an unbeliever, there's so much struggle with guilt and shame. And I think often we in the church play that same game. And we beat ourselves up over our sin instead of simply repenting and saying, Lord, I've been forgiven. Let me walk in that newness of life that you've called me to. There is free justification provided for all who believe in Jesus Christ by faith. Justification answers all the problems of the condemnation that we feel from our sin. Now let's look together at verses 25 and 26. Paul's going to give us another one of these theological words that we use all the time. He says this, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. See, Paul uses this lovely word, propitiation. One of those words that rolls off the tongue, right? We say it all the time. Propitiation. What does that word mean? It means a sacrifice that turns away wrath. Propitiation is a sacrifice made that turns away wrath. Christ is our propitiation. He is our sacrifice that has turned away the wrath of God. It is appeased. He, in His righteousness, has appeased God's righteous anger and has covered and paid the penalty for our sins. What an incredibly important word for a believer. Now in Romans 1 and 2, Paul has been building this foundation of sin, and he says, in our unbelief and our sinfulness, all that we are waiting for is the wrath of God. If you are apart from Christ, all you have to look forward to is the wrath of God. I hope you don't want that. God's wrath is coming, and as those who are separate from Christ, we have no excuse, no argument against it, no value that we can say, oh, these works make sure that I'm not condemned because of my sin. No, you are guilty. Apart from Christ, God's wrath is coming. But for the believer, we have a sacrifice that turns away that wrath, the propitiation that has saved us from the punishment that we deserved. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His sacrifice on the cross, satisfied the wrath of God, so that not one sin that we ever commit or have committed is not atoned for. You ever thought about that? Every single sin, little to big, top to bottom, past to present, every single one of them has already been purchased. The penalty has been paid. Paul will deal in another letter. He'll say, so does that mean we should keep sinning? Absolutely not. But it's a reminder that the work of Christ's salvation was completed on our behalf, and we bring nothing to the table. Our sin has been dealt with. We can stand righteous before God because God's wrath was poured out on Jesus instead of us. Now, it's important for us to wrestle with this a little bit, church, because God doesn't sweep our sin under the rug. He doesn't just cancel it and say, well, you know, Jesus is great, so, you know, your sin's no big deal. No. Your sin brought the wrath of God upon Jesus Himself. My sin brought the wrath of God upon Jesus Himself. God didn't just get rid of our sin and erase it. He dealt with it. He paid the penalty for it. And He knew that in the person of Jesus Christ, only He could be that true satisfaction, that real propitiation that we need. And that means for us, church, that our sin is no more. This is a hard truth. Your sin is no more. If you have been counted as righteous, proclaimed as justified before the Heavenly Father, your sin is gone. Do you see the freedom that that brings to the Christian life? There is no more need to deal or struggle with guilt. You've been justified. You can let go of your addiction and your failures. You've been redeemed. You can run from the slavery that you were once bound to in your sin because you've been set free. Don't live in fear of the wrath of God as a believer. Christ is your propitiation. He has satisfied the wrath that you deserved. This is the heart of the gospel of salvation. This is the heart of everything that Jesus Christ came to do. And you have been offered it all for free. It's the benefit of God declaring you to be righteous, provided by His grace and received by faith. And the faith that we've been given restores us to who we were called to be in the first place. A people who live in obedience to our God and glorify and enjoy Him forever. Now let's look together, verses 27 through 31. Paul says, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now, in these verses, Paul is emphasizing the fact that our salvation was purchased and accomplished by Jesus Christ, and it is received by us in faith alone, apart from any works of the law. You are justified and made righteous by God through faith and not by anything that you bring to the table. There is nothing that you do that is a prerequisite for God's grace. And people all over the world have this backwards. They think, I just got to get my life right and then I'll come to the Lord. No! He is the one that will declare you to be right. Your life is a mess. Let Him declare you as holy. Let Him proclaim you as righteous. Stop waiting for your life to come together because it's not. Without Him, it's a mess. And all you're doing is waiting for the wrath of God to come upon your sin. There is no prerequisite to receive the grace and salvation of our God. He offers it freely to us all. There is no obedience that we can do, no works that we can perform that convinces God to now show us His grace. Oh, that was a good job. Here's some salvation. And I'm going to say something else that's a little difficult maybe. But even the faith that you have, even the faith that you've been given to believe is a gift from God. And you might be thinking, well, then what's my role? We'll get to that. Don't worry. Now, Paul makes this abundantly clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Look what he says. He says, for grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And I will say, as I read this as a younger man, I remember thinking that it was the grace. It was the grace that we've received from God, and the faith was what I brought to the table. Paul is saying that both the grace and the faith are a gift from God Himself. The plan of salvation and the ability to believe in that plan are both gifts from God. You and I don't do good works as a qualification for God to accept us. And the one thing that God does require of us, faith, He gives that to us as well. Augustine, in his book, The Confessions, if you haven't ever read it, I would encourage you. It's long, but it's worth it. But he says this to God. He says this as a prayer to God. Command what you will and give what you command. Command what you will and give what you command. And what he's saying is, Lord, you can tell me to do anything you want. Just give me the ability to do it. And God is saying, I require you to have faith in order to be justified. And I will also give you the faith to believe it. He gives us that faith by His grace and His love. Because He knows that if it was up to us, our weakness, our sinfulness would make our faith fleeting. It would wane. It would come and go. But the faith that He provides as a gift from the Holy Spirit is forever. And it allows you to turn in repentance and believe in your God, in the plan of salvation that He's offered to you. And if that's true, then we can truly give God all the glory for our salvation and take none for ourselves. See, if faith is something that we provide, then it's like us saying to Christ, well, your offer of salvation is really great. We didn't quite get there. Let me make sure my faith comes along and helps it out a little bit. How pathetic does that sound? As if Christ's offer of salvation needs anything from us at all. I'm going to add my work, my belief to what you did, Jesus, because it just needs a little something else. I need to make sure that my salvation is finally completed. No! All the work of salvation is His. He paid the price. He satisfied the wrath of God. He gives you the faith to believe. And then He receives all the glory. And we take none, as it should be. We wrestle with things like this, and we laugh when we say, oh, the faith isn't even ours. And when I compare that statement of you telling Christ, you know, let me just add a little bit more, we scoff at something like that because it sounds ridiculous. But that, how often do we struggle with that? To think that Christ's salvation somehow needs my participation. That I can bring something to the table that He hasn't already offered in His holy perfection. Christians, we need to wrestle with this truth. To realize that our salvation has been completed, perfected in everything that Christ has done already. So then the question becomes, what is our role? What are we to do? What is our part to play in the kingdom of God? We do have a part. You see, I'm not saying that as Christians we do nothing. We don't just lay as a blob on the floor and say, all right, Lord, give me your salvation. What is our role then? Paul makes it abundantly clear that our faith, the faith that we've been given, must be accompanied by obedience. Look again at Romans 3, verse 31. He says, do we overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Paul says, we don't get rid of God's law. We obey what it says. We follow His commandments. But there's a significant thing that we need to point out here. And I'm going to illustrate it in a few different ways. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Because Paul is going to actually lay this out really clearly. He says, by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Salvation is all a grace from God. It is all His gift. It is His work alone. But then look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You see, faith and obedience go hand in hand in the Christian life. And your role, once you have been given the gift of salvation, once you have been given that precious faith that God offers you, your role is obedience. Now, our obedience, our following of God's commandment has nothing to do with God justifying us. nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with our faith. It has everything to do with how we live in response to those things. You have been given faith. You have been given salvation. You have been made justified. Now, how are you going to respond? Your obedience to the Lord isn't some ploy that you're trying to get God to like you and to offer you the gift of salvation if you just do enough good things. Obedience is given out of gratitude to the Lord for the salvation that He freely offers. Paul lays this out really clearly in Ephesians 2, and it even is laid out in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 and 3. It's the giving of the Ten Commandments. Look what he writes. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Then the Ten Commandments go on from there. But the order here in Exodus 20 and in Ephesians chapter 2 is of the utmost importance. God does not say, here's the Ten Commandments. If you obey them, or you do your best to just follow them, then I will bring you out of the land of Egypt and you will be saved. No, God says, I have already brought you out of the land of Egypt. I have set you free. I have brought you out of the land of slavery. I have set you free from your sin. I have redeemed you. I have brought to you salvation. Now, here are my commandments to obey. See, we cannot obey if we're not followers of Jesus Christ. We can't follow God's will, His commandments, if we don't have a relationship with Him. Christian, you and I have been redeemed to obey. We don't obey to be redeemed. We have been redeemed so that we can obey. We don't obey in order to be redeemed. And that order, church, is of pivotal importance. It shows us the incredible grace and love of God and His plan of salvation for us. You see, here at the end of Romans 3, Paul is emphasizing this doctrinal truth that justification comes to us by faith alone. And your obedience is not conditional for you to receive that love, that mercy from Him. He has already shown you that in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Did you know that before you were saved, God already loved you more than you could ever know? His love for you isn't conditional. It's perfect and pure. And your obedience to Him must flow from that love that you've been shown. From that gift that you've received, that benefit of His justification by faith. Church, there are a lot of people in this world that don't know Jesus, that don't have this free gift of salvation. And it is offered to all. God isn't withholding it from those. He's offering it freely. And He wants us to be those that proclaim that truth to the world. To be that example of people who have taken and received that free gift of God's salvation and who are then living a life of obedience in grateful response to that free gift. Church, that is our calling. That is God's heart. That is your role in the plan of salvation. To be the mouthpiece to those who haven't heard. To tell them. To tell those who are lost, there's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you need to bring to the table. Take and receive. The free gift of God is yours. And He has done it all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, we praise You for Your plan of salvation, that precious gift in which You offer to us new life. Will you pour out your wrath on your precious Son, your only begotten Son, so that we could live in eternity with you forever? All praise and thanks be to you. We thank you that salvation isn't something that we have to earn, but you simply put it out there for us to receive. So I pray for the hearts of those in our communities, our neighbors, our friends, and our co-workers that don't know you. May they receive that free gift. And may we be that mouthpiece that points them to you, that tells them of the freedom that we have in you, of the love that we've been shown in you. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for you are good. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the perfect work that you did on Calvary. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the faith that we need to be able to respond to that free gift. May you receive all the glory and all the honor forever and ever. Amen.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you only. My heart you hold, 'cause you made this sinner holy and
you are good. Oh, we sing,
your glory is so beautiful. And I'll fall onto my knees in awe. The heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Cause your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory, God. And your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe. And the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
Church, would you extend your hands with me? I do not cease to give thanks to you, for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. That you may know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. You may know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe. According to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Church, go this week resting in the fact that you have been justified by grace through faith. That is a free gift from God. And then take that truth in obedience to those that have never heard. For His glory, and His glory alone. Have a beautiful week, High Point family. We love you all.
And everything that's living honors you. They honor you. Maker of all.